hour two on this Friday rolling on. Logo and J-Mac along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For our friends at Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, cracked foundation, Boeing foundation walls. They have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. All things Calgary Flames in hour one. Looking back on a big 4-1 win over the Vegas Golden Knights. And also getting you set for their next opponent, the Montreal Canadiens, in town for a 5 o'clock puck drop Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Pat Steinberg has your Flames warm up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, another edition of Flames Hockey right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. If you missed anything in hour one, check us out on the podcast. Google, Amazon, Spotify, your favorite podcatcher. We would love to have you along for the ride. Text line open at 960-960. We'll get to the text line in a big way coming up in here in hour two as we'll close out the week with another edition of the Friday DMs. Anything and everything you want to chat about, you can get your text in at 960-960. You want to chat draft prospects. You want to ask Julian questions about his dating life. You want to ask
why
Shannon
are you going
about
there
his
with
car.
That? Why are you going there with that?
I'm just
why
saying,
was that your first thing to
DMs
think of?
The DMs are open
why
to anything.
Why was that your first thing to think of?
That's just the why, Friday why was DMs, that your first man. Thing? We let the people decide what they want to talk about. Okay. And if they want to talk about that, then we're going to talk about it. So stay tuned for the Friday DMs coming up here on Sportsnet today.
Has anyone ever DM'd you on this show about your dating life?
No, that doesn't exist. So
I'm sorry. Jeez, I didn't mean to unearth that. My bad. Damn. You mean that doesn't exist? At least
show's over.
Yeah. No. All right, guys. Well, it's done. All right. We've clearly unearthed a.
Thanks for breaking me down, Julian.
You should have been here for our Wildcard Wednesday. That was Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah.
That was just the saddest day ever.
Yes. And, mean, and nothing Cam like. Not like me and Shan, the two single guys, talking to on Valentine's Day.
That was awesome. Cam, super not single, was just rubbing it in our faces, too.
It's okay. It's okay to be single. You need that time to love yourself.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of time to love yourself. Lots and lots of time.
Oh, man.
No comment
there. Anyway, that's cool.
We're going to switch our focus over to the NFL. It was tampering week. In free agency, we've got deals going down, and it seems like every single day this week there's been massive news, and it continued on Friday. Julian, we'll start with this isn't movement from team to team, but a big move, literally and figuratively. Aaron Donald announced his retirement on Friday, and what a career it is for AD. 10 years, all of them with the Rams.
Yeah.
The product of Pitt took home 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. He was the Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2014. He was an All-Pro first teamer 8 times, was 10 consecutive Pro Bowler, 10 consecutive Pro Bowls, excuse me, led the league in sacks in 2018 from a defensive tackle. He had 20 and a half sacks in 2018, topped all defenders in tackles for a loss twice, and was named to the Hall of Fame's All-2010s team. 32-year-old Super Bowl champion, where he contributed a pair of sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, and 3 QB hits over Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. He finishes his career 543 total tackles, 176 of them for a loss.
Oh, my goodness.
111 sacks, 260 quarterback hits, 24 forced fumbles. His sack total ranks 28th on the all-time leaderboard. The Rams lose one of the best, a surefire Hall of Famer in Aaron Donald.
Are you sure he's a Hall of Famer? No, I'm kidding.
Now, I'll say this. If Antonio Gates doesn't get in on the first time,
wow,
then maybe Aaron Donald doesn't, but
no, there's
he
no way.
Should be.
There's no way. I think Antonio Gates is one of the best tight ends who ever played the game, but also on Aaron Donald, the original topic of conversation here, like previous generations look at the NFL and they look at Lawrence Taylor as the premier defensive player. Aaron Donald might be the closest that our generation has seen to matching a player of that caliber. I think he's one echelon a little above J.J. Watt, as an example. Like, J.J. Watt's an incredible player. I think he could be a Hall of Famer, too, but I don't think we look at him the same way as we do Aaron Donald, who was a literal stopgap in the middle of that Rams defense. One thing I love seeing in light of him retiring, I think it was Mina Kimes who posted a tweet and said it was like an Aaron Donald retrospective, and it's so many shots of Aaron Donald fighting the line with two or three offensive linemen just trying to fight him off. That's how much of a beast this dude was on the football field. You probably saw that video of it was a Rams Seahawks game where Aaron Donald is running freely at Geno Smith. And Geno Smith is like, oh my God. Like, that's how much fear this person put in opposing quarterbacks. An absolute legend of the game. He will be missed in the NFL field. And yeah, he's destined for Canton.
His lowest sack total was 2 years ago when he only registered 5, but he was hurt that year and only played in 11 games. But just the numbers are just ridiculous. 9 sacks, 11, 9, 11, 20 and a half. In 2018, and from a position that, you know, look, there's a tradition of great pass rushing D tackles, but it's hard, man. The interior linemen that can also chase the quarterback is just, the guards are huge, centers are huge. You're facing the easiest. It's way easier to double team a guard center combo than it is guard tackle, or even, you know, I know you can get a tight end tackle sometimes. It's not always the same. The interior guys are some of the biggest, strongest guys playing the sport. And Aaron Donald made some of them look like they were standing still, like they were tiny little boys that he was just pushing around. And, you know, the numbers of quarterback hits and pressures that this guy put up were unbelievable. And everybody knew.
Yep.
Those are always the guys that you know are the most dangerous, right? When you know that guy is going to be a problem and you plan for it and there's just nothing you can do about it. You can plan all day. We're going to double him. Running back's going to chip him every time we get it, and it still doesn't matter, Julian.
Aaron Donald, a absolute freak of nature, and I'm curious what the Rams defense, I mean, they're going to be, I mean, already, I'm sure Sean McVay feels this now as head coach of the Rams. This defense is not going to be the same without him. Absolutely not. And they're going to have to find a way to make up for that loss. Only 32 as well, man. He was talking before that Super Bowl about, it's still just pretty cool to see a guy retire at that age. He could probably play like another 3, 4, 5 years, or maybe a little less, but like still, the fact that he can go out on those terms, knowing his Hall of Fame legacy is secured, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think you can look at, if you're Aaron Donald, I think you can look at a guy like J.J. Watt and see the kind of struggles that he went through physically the last couple of years. Because, I mean, to maintain the level of strength that a guy like he needs at his position takes a toll.
Yeah.
And then just the physical nature of playing, you know, 17, 18 games, especially when you're getting hit every play.
Yeah.
No disrespect to a DB or a wide receiver, anything like that. But, you know, there's contact every play between a D lineman and an O lineman. John Bender, our pal, will tell you that time, right? And the physical toll it takes on your body is just different than other positions. And it takes longer to recover. It takes a different routine to recover and be at your best. So if it's 32, you can sit there and say, I've accomplished everything I want. Yeah, okay, I could climb up a couple spots on the all-time sack list. Well, you know, am I going to be number one at the end of the day? No, a D tackle was never going to be number one. You had to stop the run. You were a run gap guy along with getting sacked. So it was never really your main point of focus.
I mean, look, having like 20 and a half in one season is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to sit there and go, he was bad at rushing the passer because he's only 50th on the all-time list. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to watch Aaron Donald and he wasn't good at it. So congratulations to Aaron Donald on an absolutely unbelievable career. Curious where he goes next. I'm always, you know, 32. Guy's got lots of living left to do.
I don't know.
Doesn't strike me as a like he's going to jump into the Greg Olsen or
Tony Romo role. Maybe someone gives him a try somewhere, but I don't get that sense either. And he can always just, I don't know, start a business or spend time with family or anything like that.
Other NFL news is this wild offseason continues. Most recently can tell you this afternoon the Cowboys are releasing wide receiver Michael Gallup and linebacker Leighton Vander Esch.
Wow. Those guys have been staples on that team for a couple years.
Jumping into the pool there in Dallas. Also on this Friday, we have another trade. The quarterback carousel continues in the NFL. Kenny Pickett, not happy that Russell Wilson was signed to a contract and asked out of Pittsburgh. Today he was granted his wish. Steelers trade Kenny Pickett to the Philadelphia Eagles in a pick swap. Pittsburgh gets pick 98 and two 2025 seventh rounders, while the Eagles get Pickett and pick number 120. Apparently not happy about Russell Wilson coming into the situation in Pittsburgh. 25-year-old now expected to back up Jalen Hurts in Philly. And it hasn't been a great start to his career for Kenny Pickett. He was the 20th overall pick in 2022, owns a 14-10 record, 4,474 yards, 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions in 24 career starts. He was benched last year after a Week 13 loss to the Arizona Cardinals.
Man, I mean, for a young guy who probably wanted that opportunity to start somewhere, I can't imagine he's feeling all that great about being in Philly, but... Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is the guy. They're not moving away from Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Maybe you show your stuff in preseason and hope someone else takes a chance on you in another trade. I mean, it's one of those things where you got to be careful what you wish for. That being said, I do understand his sentiment. You end up playing behind Russell Wilson, who's going to be the starter in Pittsburgh unless he has himself a terrible training camp. And I don't know. I guess if you're Kenny Pickett, you were probably hoping you could go to another market where you could at least get some more playing time. Like, I know Washington may probably want a quarterback in the draft, but if you ended up there as an example, you have a chance over there to fight for a spot.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I kind of hate this from Kenny Pickett. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Russell Wilson's a Super Bowl winning champion, and I'm not going to deny any of that. But it's not like the last 2 years in Denver he had blown the roof off. If anything, there were people questioning whether he could be a starter in the NFL. And yes, he signed for a team-friendly deal for one season in Pittsburgh, and that's enough for Kenny Pickett to go, you guys have disrespected me. I want a chance somewhere else. Like, I would much rather have my young quarterback say, cool, I'm up for a challenge. I don't know that Russell Wilson is the unstoppable mountain that Kenny Pickett could never conquer. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that was just kind of fine. But is Kenny Pickett, does he have a chance at beating Russell Wilson for that job? I'd rather Russell Wilson right now.
Well, I would too.
A lot of people would, and I think Mike Tomlin definitely does.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying I don't know why Kenny Pickett looks at that and says my chances are over.
What, you have to just learn for a year behind Russell?
Well, I mean, compete with the guy.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I mean more than anything. Is like, I don't like, because now you have no chance of competing. You thought your odds sucked at getting any time behind Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Your odds suck now because you're not going to play behind Jalen Hurts unless he's hurt.
I don't know how much this has to do with it, but he did grow up a big Eagles fan. I know that's a big part.
Congratulations,
of it,
but you can cheerlead.
Yeah, but
for
now
them
he's a backup.
Now.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could at least have a jersey with your name on the back and be like Eagles.
Yeah, congratulations. I'd much rather him have the attitude of I'm gonna beat Russell Wilson out for a spot.
Yeah, or at the very least, if you have to back him up for what, a year, 2 years.
Well, and you and me said this when we were off the air when we were talking about the trade. Like, you know, you're just going to Philly. You're not gonna play.
And if you're Pittsburgh,
Jalen Hurts isn't going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere unless he gets hurt
in Philly.
No,
he did have some injury troubles this past year. Like it was a big talking point throughout the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, but I mean, if everything's equal and both guys are healthy,
you're picking Jalen Hurts
exactly. So I just don't love the mindset of you've brought somebody in and you know, again, all due respect to Russell Wilson, but I would have loved to have seen Kenny Pickett be like, yeah, cool. This is my team. I'm going to compete for it.
I guess the only thing I can say with Kenny Pickett is that even if he isn't the starter, he at least ends up on a pretty good-looking team. Just at the skill positions, they still look pretty good. They add Saquon Barkley to that backfield now. I mean, this team should be winning the NFC East this year. I think they should be good enough. If their O-line figures it out, I know their last year was a little bit topsy-turvy and it ended with a thud. If they play to their potential, they should win the division this year.
Agreed. And the last thing I'd say on Pickett before we move out here is just, I think it's hard to build value behind a guy like Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even in preseason, I mean, you're really going to have to show out for somebody to get some film because, like we just mentioned, Hurts plays every game this season. How do you, what tape do you take into free agency or to other teams and go, yeah, take a flyer on me?
Yeah.
I
don't get it either.
I don't see it, but we'll continue to watch. It's been a busy offseason in the NFL. Draft's not even here yet. Still got to wait for that to come. Can tell you also the Chiefs adding another weapon for Patrick Mahomes, potentially. Marquise Brown, a.k.a. Hollywood Brown, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens. And
I like
the
that signing.
Arizona Cardinals is now heading to KC on a one-year deal. Worth up to $11 million. Still just 26 years old. Played in the Cardinals offense. It didn't have Kyler Murray for most of the year last year. Wasn't great, but I think still some talent there. And, hey, if you're KC and you can take a chance on a guy to perhaps pop off with Patrick Mahomes, there's worse opportunities out there for guys.
I still can't believe that Kansas City team, the big storyline with them, for that entire season was that they had barely any adequate receiving talent. We were clowning on Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, not good enough. It was Travis Kelce and a bunch of guys, and they still won the damn Super Bowl because of that defense they had. They signed Mecole Hardman, who wasn't even of use to the Jets, and they brought him back into the fold, and he scores the game-winning touchdown that wins the Super Bowl over San Francisco. And now they add a young talent in Hollywood Brown. I get maybe he's getting a little older at 26. It's kind of wild to think of 26 as older. But yeah, like it's, I think I still believe in Hollywood Brown as a speedster, a deep threat. If you can put him in that space, he could help out this offense. All he has to do is just catch the ball.
Yeah,
just catch the ball. Just hold on to the ball.
A little bit better than Kadarius Toney was. Good in the old. Lord. You'll get some opportunity.
They might break a record for most drops by a duo. Like Marquise Brown's a really talented player.
Yeah.
He does have a lot of drops.
He does drop, yes.
And Kadarius Toney's literally the king of it. We saw that last year.
My goodness. And if he's not dropping the ball, he's doing boneheaded things like stepping over the line of scrimmage and costing his team a touchdown.
Not great. And the big move last night, the Chicago Bears add a weapon for Justin Fields / Caleb Williams, ? Keenan Allen traded to the Bears for a 4th-round pick.
How are you coping with
that? Cried a lot. I was not happy about that.
What are they doing?
Yeah, what are the Chargers rebuilding?
No, what happened was Tom Telesco, who is now the GM of the Raiders,
ironically enough. Yes.
Paid big for 4 guys. And those 4 guys were Khalil Mack,
yes,
Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. They were in cap hell because those guys were at like $25 million plus each. And they released Mike Williams, so they got some cap relief there. Bosa and Khalil Mack agreed to pay cuts and contract restructures. And apparently they went to Keenan Allen about a pay cut and a restructure, and he wasn't up for it. So they made the decision to move on from him. And look, I think now there were some comments from their new GM, Joe Horvitz, that he saw Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, and thought of him as one of the top receivers he's ever scouted. So I think he clearly feels good about picking a receiver at 5.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot of offensive turnover. Your starting tight end, running back, and your 2 starting receivers are now gone. And Justin Herbert is still there. But at the same time, as a Chargers fan, the one thing I can tell you is there's nothing more frustrating than paying all those guys and Khalil Mack being the only one that can stay healthy.
Yeah.
I love Mike Williams. Mike Williams is unbelievably talented. And at 29 years old, the guy's a beast, a deep ball threat all day long. he doesn't stay healthy. You can't pay a guy $25, $30 million to be a top receiver for your group and not stay healthy. The Keenan Allen one's gutting.
I was about to say
like, that should have been a charger for life.
That speech could have been saved for Keenan Allen too. That's also a guy who didn't stay healthy throughout his tenure as a charger.
Oh, that one's just gutting. He's an OG San Diego Charger. I like the move for the Bears, man. Like, I think for the Bears, that's a hell of a guy to pick up for either of your young quarterbacks, if that's who it's going to be. But the Chargers had to make some tough moves cap-wise because they were in a really bad spot. I just didn't think it was going to be. I don't think it was going to be my boy.
Yeah.
Number 13 tough. In a Bears jersey is going to look really, really strange to me.
Who's going to be throwing him the ball? In Chicago.
Caleb Williams.
I think it's Caleb. I mean, I'm curious what happens with Justin Fields now, because I thought Atlanta would make sense, and then Kirk Obangs, a.k.a. Kirk Cousins, goes there. I thought Washington would make a little bit of sense, but it seems like they might want to pick a quarterback. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Where does Justin Fields end up in all of this? Does he just stay in? If Chicago can't get like a second or a third for him from any team that needs a quarterback, do they just keep him and just let him fight with Caleb Williams for a job? Is that worth doing?
I don't think it is.
Like, he needs to go somewhere. I still think Justin Fields as a passer, if you put him in a good situation, you give him a better O-line, he could still be a really dynamic talent. We saw in not this past season, but the year before, where he was showing off the legs. He has an arm. He has quarterbacking talent. He just needs to be in the right situation.
Where would I take Justin Fields? If I'm New England, I would take Justin Fields.
I would, yeah. But maybe unless if J.J. McCarthy falls to you, I guess, or whatever quarterback falls to you in the draft.
I don't believe.
But even then, is McCarthy going to be that much better than Fields? I don't know. I like Justin Fields as a guy.
I don't like Will Levis in Tennessee. I'd take Justin Fields there.
Sure. But also, they have, didn't they just sign another quarterback the other day? I feel like the Titans just did. Well, they signed Calvin Ridley, which is...
You wouldn't pay A.J. Brown, but you'll pay
Calvin Ridley. But you'll pay him $92 million? Look, I get it. Like,
would Justin Fields be a Bronco?
Mason Rudolph's the guy I'm thinking of. It's Will Levis and Mason Rudolph in Tennessee.
That's really gross. That's awful. That's no good.
That's
don't do that to yourselves. Don't. Pass. Hot or not.
Will Levis is the guy who puts mayo in his coffee.
Bleh.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And it's disgusting. If you do that, you're wrong.
I don't even like coffee, and I wouldn't. Like, why would
you're
you
not
do
a coffee
that?
Guy?
I've had coffee like twice in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not a coffee guy before I moved here, and then I started working, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll have some. But like, even then, like, I'd much rather have like tea or something.
I've had coffee once. Giants could use
a quarterback.
Really? But they have a QB room of Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, and they also just signed a quarterback, too.
Bucks signed Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't think he's going there.
Question mark?
Drew Lock just got traded to... Drew Lock is in the Giants room now.
Okay, pass.
He doesn't do it for him.
No.
He'll, like, gritty on the sideline when the other quarterback scores a touchdown.
He'll rap Young Jeezy lyrics.
That's cool. You know what? I wouldn't mind him on the Saints.
Behind or battling with Derek Carr? Sure.
I don't hate that one.
I don't hate that either.
Niners are fine. Rams are fine. Seahawks have two. Cardinals have Kyler. Yeah. There's still some spots out there. There's less, for sure. But still some spots out there. Yeah. I mean, if you're New England and you don't have to give up your first and you can say... Get Marvin Harrison Jr. and Justin Fields together all of a sudden.
Goodness.
Like, I wouldn't hate that. You know, and again, it depends on what they want. Like, if Chicago's like, I want whatever your top pick is, then I'd be like,
no.
Beat it. But
yeah, forget it.
If you could get that and pair him up with a young receiver, worst ways to go about your business.
Good way for the Jerron Mayo era to begin in New England. Wow, this is going to be like the first year. Like, how many years where Bill Belichick is... Bill Belichick is not working for an NFL team anywhere.
Nope.
When's the last time that happened?
A long time. I don't think I was born.
Well, we definitely weren't born.
No, probably not.
You and I were the same year. We definitely were not born the last time Bill Belichick was not working for an NFL team.
Let's close out the week in style. When we come back, we're turning the show over to you. If you're listening live, 960-960. It's the Friday DMs. We're not doing an old school mailbag. We're not limiting you to one topic. Whatever you want to chat about on this Friday is where we're going at 960-960. If you want to talk about the Flames, want to talk about off-season targets or trade proposals, want to talk about prospects in the draft, we're willing to go there. You want to talk about anything else, more NFL stuff. You want to talk about, again, something about Julian's fashion sense or Shan's lack of fashion sense. We can dive into all of that.
Damn, you going to take that, Shan?
The Friday DMs.
Hey, you going to take that?
I'm wearing winter's clothes right now.
Yeah.
You wearing winners, like from winners?
I think my entire outfit's from winners.
I thought he was going to say, like, he's a winner.
I mean, winners is pretty underrated in terms of fashion options.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about winners? We can do that next. It's the Friday DMs opening the show up to you when we come back here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, Logan and Julian, closing out the week with you here on Sportsnet today. Can let you know when we chat with you on Monday, we'll have the Flames and Canadians to talk about after their matchup Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Reminder, it's a 5 o'clock puck drop tomorrow. So Steinberg's got Flames warm-up at 4. The dynamic duo of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson will on the call just after 5 o'clock right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Julian, why don't you say we close things out like we always do here on a Friday?
Let's do it.
We turn the show over to you for another edition of Friday DMs.
Who still uses that old mailbox? Time to bring it into the 21st century. Your burning questions answered on the Friday DMs.
960-960. Anything and everything you want to talk about. Doesn't have to be sports, doesn't have to be Flames, but if that's where you want to go, we are here to answer the Friday DMs. Julian, you ready to do this, man?
Yes, sir.
Shan, producer extraordinaire.
Yes.
You are in charge of the DMs on this Friday. Shall we begin?
Yes, let's start sane. How about that?
All right, that's unusual, but sure.
Logo and Julian, you dudes are owning Thursday and Friday. With all the cap space the Flames have, two players, one forward and one defenseman, would you each target via free agency or trade? That coming from Paul in Chestermere.
Ooh.
So as like pending UFAs, just guys you want to add on the team?
Or trades.
Or trades, I guess. That's a good question. I mean,
trying to pull up a list of,
yeah, because you gotta think about this, right? If you're building a team that is going along the course of a retool rebuild, splurging a lot of money on a guy like Sam Reinhart when he hits the market. Does that make sense? I don't think so. Not for what you're trying to do. I mean, Jake Guentzel, too, at 29, if he ends up not sticking around with the Carolina Hurricanes, I feel bad. I'm kind of mentioning guys that might not make sense. Essentially here, I think you're trying to find veterans who are cool with playing that role of stopgap in a transition period as your team is making its way to being a contender. So I don't know if Paul intended us to do this with this question. I would be very surprised if, unless Craig Conroy looks at this roster and maybe he's not able to offload some of those other pieces and he's like, dang it, we're going to compete, and then you go big game hunting. But I'd be surprised if they put themselves in that position. But definitely you want, I mean, I think with the way the defense looks, I wonder how much you really want to add. I mean, you keep Oliver Shillington, that's for sure. If he wants to stay, he wants to come back, you sign him. You need another depth defenseman. Maybe you keep Dennis Gilbert. I mean, I don't think you need to do that much with this roster. You just need to open up spaces for those young players to take advantage and let them grow into those roles. I don't know how you're seeing it, Logo, but I don't think you need to necessarily splurge on any of the big game guys that are out there if you're doing this retool over the next little while.
Yeah, and I do think that the way Paul worded it, it doesn't necessarily have to be the big name guys. I think that there's smart money to be spent.
Sure.
Depending on what you need. You know, one guy that struck me as an interesting name, and it's simply because they played on Thursday, if a guy like Chandler Stephenson were to be a free agent in the summer, I wouldn't mind that for the Calgary Flames.
I believe he is a pending UFA.
He is. That's what I mean. If they don't re-sign him, then that's a name that I've kind of wondered about if that's going to be, you know, an option for the team. So that's one name I can tell you for sure.
Okay, let's move on here.
Okay.
How do you gents feel about giving Wolfie a run here? Some meaningful hockey-ish. Realistically, nothing at risk as an organization. Once Markey's healthy, give them a split the rest of the way? That's from Brad in Coventry Hills.
As long as Jacob Markstrom is hurt, I think the Flames, it would be in their best interest to just keep Dustin Wolf up there, let him play as many games as they could play him. But we didn't really get into it, but that save he made on Ivan Barbashev last night, that's the best save he's made as a pro, and it leads to that goal for Blake Coleman and the go-ahead goal in that win over Vegas. That's a big win for his confidence, especially what happened to him in San Jose. I think for him, as long as Jacob Markstrom's not healthy, you let him get those games in. But of course, you have to remember Dan Vladar's there too, and that's a guy who he's had some tough outs. He could use a better outing, and you can't just bench him the rest of the way. So I think as long as Jacob Markstrom is hurt, you keep Dustin Wolf up. I say you play him against the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow. He played well enough against Vegas. Why not give him that chance and let Dan Vladar play against the Washington Capitals afterward? And as long as we don't know when Jacob Markstrom will be back, but there's no harm in letting Wolf play those games.
Give me a win and you're in scenario as long as Markstrom's out, and I'm fine with that.
Yep.
That kind of works for me. If you win, you have a good performance, I'm more than okay with rolling with Dustin Wolf, and he has an off night or, you know, what doesn't go their way, you can go back to Dan Vladar. So I'd split between both of them, yeah.
Okay, can we talk about Oliver Shillington being defensively sound for the first time in his life? A little harsh. Also, let's talk about Steinberg's tarp, which is way more interesting than football ever has or will be. That from Dylan in Revy.
Steinberg's tarp.
Hashtag tarps off for Steinberg.
Tarps and off Sylvia. For Steinberg.
Also Sylvia.
I think Oliver Shillington, considering what has been going on with this team on defense, he's doing as good of a job as he could put. I mean, I think everyone on that defense core now might get exhausted by the end of the year, considering the pressure that's going to be put on them. I don't necessarily have too many complaints with regards to his defensive play. I don't have the underlying numbers in front of me, but I think for Shillington, what's cool too is I remember talking to him about it, and he seemed pretty confident about adjusting to everything that he's had to adjust to since coming back and having guys like Ryan Huska, who he's known for a long time, Rasmus Anderson, who he's been able to play with for a while too. That jump for him has not been this drastic thing for him since coming back after personal reasons. Like, I think he's been fine.
Yeah, I think there was a pretty noticeable effort from Oliver Shillington when he came back this season that he wanted to make sure that the defensive side of his game was handled before he went back to being that sort of offensive rover that we know he can be.
Yes.
So I give him a lot of credit for making sure that that aspect of his game was up to snuff and ready to go for the team from day one. And I really appreciate everything he's done. He's been great for the group so far, and I think is going to be an important piece. And I think let the Flames do a lot of things they did at this trade deadline because he came back in such a great way. So, yeah, it's been great to see.
This one's not a question. Please tell Twitter group Flames fans and fast food junkies that mint Oreo blizzards are the best blizzards. That from Steve C. Dad Jokes. Agree, disagree?
I haven't had a blizzard in a long time. Didn't we have a blizzard together last year?
We did,
in studio. Yeah. There's a photo of it.
Miracle Treat Day.
Yes, we did. I forget what flavor it was.
You brought us some blizzards.
We did. There's photo evidence of that.
Yeah.
That's the last time I had a blizzard.
I don't like mint chocolate.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's not my thing.
I'm not eating that all the time. Maybe?
I like a blizzard despite my lactose intolerance. I like a blizzard, but
ooh, really?
Yeah. Do you like peanut butter chocolate?
I could get down with that.
Yeah.
Cuz I think if you like peanut butter chocolate, you can't like mint chocolate.
What?
That's a theory. Why? I've had. I've tested it in public too with society. But
what do those two flavors have to do with each other?
I just think they're two very different things that both involve chocolate. And a lot of people think.
How have you tested this?
Okay,
well, are you going out on the street and being like, "Hey, mint chocolate or chocolate peanut butter?
Yeah. Chocolate peanut butter."
Because listen, I cannot stand peanut butter chocolate, but mint chocolate's amazing. So that's what sparked me to ask some people, ask around, and that's a common consensus.
You're a strange
Well, you know
boy.
What, Steve C? If that's how you feel, that's how you feel.
We're going to move on here. Still staying with food, though. Best hot wings in Calgary. I still like BP's fried hot wings with BP's ranch. Guys, big fan of BP's. Is there a chain slash crappy chain restaurant slash lounge that you guys have a soft spot for? That's Curtis on Highway 2.
I have a dumb question. What is BP's?
Boston Pizza. What?
Oh, okay.
No offense. That is a dumb question. That's like BP's is...
He prefaced it with that.
I don't go to BP's.
What?
I don't... I mean, he's not in the city anymore, but sorry, Brad.
Oh, is that why? That's why?
No, not even. Not even. I don't.
He'd be walking by and sliding you that BP gift card, and now he's gone. You won't go there anymore?
I'm pretty sure if it got to that point, my bosses would have a lot of questions.
You're loyal to the soil. I appreciate it.
I still find it weird that we have a Boston pizza. And, like, that's a thing. Like, Boston's not a pizza city. There's some good pizza places in Boston, but like why isn't it not New
we
York
We don't
pizza?
Ask those kind of questions here. We right, just fine. Enjoy the food.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Do you have a wing spot, Julian, that you've come to enjoy?
I do like the wings at, I'm trying to think of the spots I like. St. James is good. Trolley 5 is good. But I still haven't found like a definitive, like, this is the wing spot.
Mugshots.
I'll try mugshots.
Have you not been?
I have not been.
Let's go together.
We'll do.
Mugshots. It's on the text line, but it was going to be my answer. From number one, mugshots is the place to go for wings.
Okay.
Also, Pig and Duke, great place. Anyways, if teams need to shed salary, the Flames should be able to pick up a couple good players with the cap space they have, Todd in Templetown.
They could.
I don't mind it. Yeah, look, cap space, as we've seen, and the Flames haven't really been in a position to do this the last couple of years because they've been so tight to the cap and in a competitive window, air quotes around. This is a unique opportunity, something we haven't seen Brad Treliving have to his access, you know, in his time a lot. I'll be interested to see what Craig Conroy does with that because, yeah, you're right. That does offer up some interesting... opportunity. Sometimes you can squeeze a good player out of a team or even just being a third party, right? Those retention slots are going to open up in the summer again for Craig Conroy. And there's nothing wrong with adding assets for taking on some money if you're a team that has extra cap space. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a big one for the Flames.
That's exactly what the Canadians were able to do. They made a trade. You guys remember this market with Sean Monahan? They got that first round pick. They flipped him for another first.
We don't talk about that.
Sorry. But I think if you're in a position where you can at least weaponize that cap space, you're golden.
Mm. Two-parter here, guys. Who wins the Cup and Finals MVP? Three-parter. Who wins the Cup and Finals MVP, and what's your favorite lunch spot in the city? Very important question.
Cup, Finals MVP, favorite lunch spot in the city.
Yeah. And why is it BP's?
Hashtag tarps off for BP's.
I know they're not playing well right now, and I know they're going to have to accommodate some players. There's something about that Vegas Golden Knights team that I still see them as the team to beat in that Western Conference. If they figure everything out, who's beating them? They have everything you need on defense. We've seen Aiden Hill come up from out of nowhere and lead his team to a Stanley Cup win. Maybe he does it again. You don't need the goaltender to get you through a playoff through the playoffs. You need a goaltender to get you through, and Aiden Hill can be that guy. A team with Jack Eichel, a healthy Thomas Hurdle, like I can go Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson's like the third line center. Like they have depth at every position on this team. And you're able to add a Noah Hanifin. I mentioned Hurdle. Anthony Mantha got his first goal as a Golden Knight the other night. Like, if those guys start playing really well, I don't think there are too many guys in this league that could stop them. I think they're that team. And by that extension, I will say Jack Eichel will win the Conn Smythe Trophy. And my favorite lunch spot in the city. I mean, I'll try to eat lunch at home, really, but...
Julian's house. Let's all go to Julian's house for lunch one day.
Yeah, maybe. I'll throw a shout out to my cousin Francis, who has a spot here, King Solomon's Kitchen. He's got some really good Jamaican food, good rice and peas and jerk chicken and stuff on Meridian Road. I believe that's where it's at. Okay. I'll say King Solomon's Kitchen.
My pick right now for the Cup would be Dallas. And I don't look, Colorado looked stupid good here on Tuesday.
Colorado's my number two pick.
It was frightening. The one thing with Dallas that scares me more than others is their goaltending.
Yep.
And I think for me, Jake Oettinger is a step ahead of a Gorgiev or an Aiden Hill or a Stuart Skinner in a lot of those cases. I put Winnipeg and Hellebuck in a very similar spot to me, but to me, they're just that team. They've been around the contention window for a long time now. You've added Chris Tanev, and now, you know, for me, Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, Miro Heiskanen, I feel like that's a team that could make a really solid championship run. And
yep.
If they were to do that, I think Heiskanen's going to wind up being your Conn Smythe winner, if not Oettinger. But I'd say Heiskanen first.
Where's your favorite lunch spot?
Oh, honestly, I just like going to a place like National or
National's
Kraft for lunch. It's a good spot to grab a beer and have a good lunch.
We've got a couple two-parters coming in here. What are the boys' go-to Friday beer on a patio? Also, do you think they should sign Sharky long-term for the right price? Sean from Mackenzie Town.
You want to go first? I'll go first.
You can go first. Yeah, sure.
Friday beer spots, Veranda, Vacay Brew Co. And,
that place is awesome.
Yeah, and Burwood Distillery in the Curry Barracks. If you haven't been, you need to go. They've got a kick-ass patio. The beer and the food are unbelievable, and the patio is going to be back open with the nice weather coming around. Can't go wrong with Veranda. The new beers all the time. I'm a sucker for that place. So if you haven't been to the Curry Barracks, make sure you go there. I think you'd love it. And as far as an extension for Yegor Sharangovich, I'd have no problem at the right price. I think he fits the age range for the Calgary Flames. I think he's proven this year to be a very valuable asset, whether it's as a winger, once he got comfortable, now as a center, as he got comfortable. I mean, the guy's just 25 years old. I wouldn't have a problem at, say, anywhere from a 4 to a 6 year deal with Yegor Sharangovich if the price was right for both sides. I think that's a guy you'd love to have. He's so versatile and he's so good in his own zone.
Yep.
I just think that's a guy that doesn't hurt you. So yeah, I'd be up for that, Julian.
He's a fixture in your top six. He's found a role for himself. He's about to hit 30 goals for the first time in his career. I think now is as good of a time as any to just keep him in your fold and have him be part of your future plans. What a win by Craig Conroy in that trade. Getting him from the New Jersey Devils, Tyler Toffoli going the other way. You get Adar Suniev, who's another good young prospect in your system who will eventually come along and can be part of that time when you can contend, presumably. It's a big win. It's the biggest win, I think, of the Craig Conroy era so far. So I would say, you sign Sharangovich at the right price. In terms of spots to go eat or just go hang out for beers, Old Beautiful's pretty good. Cold Garden's pretty good. Dandy Brewing. I like the pizza over there. They're pretty good. Yeah.
Hey there. This is from Sandy in Strathmore. How is Peter Laubardius doing lately? Lubo.
I haven't seen Lubo in a minute, man.
I saw Lou.
You see, Pat?
A month or so ago at the game, they had their scouting meetings in Calgary pre-trade deadline, obviously. It was great to see Lou. Had a smile on his face. Looked like he was doing great. Always happy to see him up in the press box. Me and Mick and Matty Rose got a chance to go over and catch up with him. And doing what he loves, watching hockey and being a part of it. I couldn't be happier for him. It was great to work with him while he was here at 960. I miss doing our hits together. Lou's always been a great friend and a mentor to me, and I've always appreciated it. So last time I saw him, he was doing great, and I hope he continues to do great. He's got a cool role with the Calgary Flames. And last time I saw him, Sandy, I can tell you he was doing fantastic. And if you have Twitter, hit him up on Twitter. I'm sure he'd let you know how things are going.
Comes across as a really good dude. I liked talking with him before practices last year and just getting his sense of what he feels about the team and some of the players, and really insightful guy, really knowledgeable guy. And I miss seeing him around the rink.
One word to describe Peter Laubardius: good people.
That's two. Okay.
I was super excited to meet Lubo when I started here, and pretty much my first day he quit. I was like, oh, okay.
That's just more about
so you're the
that
reason.
That says more about you than
yeah,
it is
that,
about
the reason.
Lou.
Yeah. That might have been me.
That was you.
This is more of a statement. Cale Makar would like to come home. I think I 100% fully agree with that. He would like to leave the Avalanche, come here. When is his contract up?
So wait, this person feels confident enough to say Cale Makar wants to come back home, but doesn't know when his contract is up.
He has 3 years after this year, so he'll be done in a UFA 2027-2028.
I mean,
he'll be 28.
If the Flames
when that
have,
season starts,
if the Flames have the space and they feel they have a team that's just one or two pieces away, and they're able to make a convincing enough pitch, you have Cale Makar visit the new arena, you let Jerome Iginla hang out with him. You put your best foot forward on that one, right? I don't have a problem with thinking big and saying, hey, you build a team with the thinking that, hey, maybe a guy like Cale Makar would want to come home and play for his hometown team and win a Stanley Cup in front of the tens of thousands at whatever this new arena is going to be called.
I wouldn't hate it. Sell a lot of jerseys.
We have a confused texter here.
Okay.
Saying this should be the Bourne and Sammy show. First things first, this isn't the Kipper and Bourne show. That's coming up next. I'm not Sammy, but if this is referring to me,
Sammy,
I'll take it. I'm going to Toronto, boys.
Who's Sammy?
Sam McKee.
Oh, okay. Sam McKee, yeah.
Their technical producer.
Yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah.
You don't really sound like Sammy.
Yeah. Anyways, this is not the Kipper and Bourne show. That is coming up next. But I would like to also add, not to toot my own horn here, but a little bit. People are back in my mint chocolate and peanut butter chocolate thing. We have Aaron Vickers here. Aaron, you're a mint chocolate guy or peanut butter chocolate here? Okay, both. So I'm completely wrong. Everything I just said is wrong.
Shan seems to think
mint arrow, money.
Okay.
Reese's peanut butter cups, money.
Okay, I'm wrong. Have a good day.
I have a Friday DM for Aaron Vickers. Why are you here?
It's early.
I don't know if you know this logo, but I occasionally work here.
No, I know, but it's just your partner's not going to be here.
Why are you like what is this? We put a little bit more prep into the Flames talk than we do with SportsNet.
Okay, whoa.
That's not true.
One of you does.
That's not true.
One of you does.
Also, I just whooped all your coworkers at the long drive competition PGA golf show.
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
So you came here to brag and lie to people. That's what you did?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going one last one here. Hey fellas, do any of you play beer league hockey? If so, what league do you guys play in?
I play in a ball hockey league with George Russick. Actually.
He talks a lot about his ball hockey talent. George does.
Are you saying that he does, or are you asking me if he does?
No, he does. Azam knows this very well.
We beat Azam a couple times. I actually scored a goal on Azam, actually.
George and Julian have scored on Azam.
It's not a fluke.
Azam.
It was not a fluke.
I know. No, it was a good shot. It was a great shot. Beat me clean.
But I get it.
After shooting quite a bit, you know, one's going to squeak through.
Okay. Well, why do you have to be so mean for? Just let me have this one.
Julian, what did you see on that play?
I saw the net. I saw a chance to beat him, and I beat him.
Lots of open net.
I beat him, man. That's
top
all that matters,
side,
man.
Top corner.
I needed that goal really badly, though. I was going through I don't score a lot in these leagues, but I was feeling myself that day. I needed a goal.
That'll do it for the DMs, Shan. That's about it for this Friday.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we got.
Appreciate everyone texting in at 960-960. It's another edition of the Friday DMs. We got to get out of here. Vickers has so much prep to do for Flames talk.
Yeah, clearly he does.
So
yeah, seriously.
We gotta give
him all this space in the studio to let him do all
expect
his prep work.
Maybe the best edition of Flames talk ever out of Aaron Vickers.
Absolutely.
He's got so much time to prep.
Oh my God.
Man, I can't wait to see what those guys got fired up this afternoon. They're coming up a little bit later on, but for now, thank you to my co-host, Julian McKenzie, for hopping on. Always appreciate you, man.
Tarps off for Steinberg.
Tarps off for Steinberg.
Tarps off for Tanith.
And Sylvia. my producer, Shannon, is on this afternoon. Thanks for their great work. And thanks to Andrew Berkshire for joining us a little bit early on. If you missed any of the show today, you can check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy a beautiful weekend in the city of Calgary. Enjoy the Flames and the Habs on Saturday. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down on another edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Peace.